Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
So this morning we're going to continue on the series Commanding Lasting Results. And I believe that this word of this morning, just like the previous ones, will bring light, guidance, and place in your hands tools and keys that will cause your result to stop being short-lived. Hallelujah. If you could come with me to our foundational scripture this morning, John 15, verse 16. The Bible here says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Child of God, maybe you were rejected by somebody. I want you to know this morning that at least Jesus chose you. Maybe you wanted somebody to choose you and they didn't see your value. You wanted somebody to recognize you and they didn't see your worth. Can I tell you something this morning? For Jesus, you are the best. And among many, he picked you. He chose you. Hallelujah. Help me tell the person next to you, you are not just in the church. You are chosen. Hallelujah. It's important to realize that you are not where you are by mistake. Jesus chose you. That's why you are where you are. Hallelujah. That is a blessing. So it says, "I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit." And bear fruit. And bear fruit. When God created man in the book of Genesis, he says, and God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful." Bear fruit. Bear fruit. Bear fruit. It's not Pastor Pascal saying it. It's Jesus saying it. He said, "That's why I chose you. Go and bear fruit. Go and get results. Go and get things done." Yes, and I told you 2 weeks ago, God is glorified when you get results. Bear fruit. Bear fruit. The opposite of fruit bearing is barrenness. Nothing comes out. Nothing grows. Nothing changes. Bear fruit. What I want you to understand there real quickly is that Jesus is not just interested in you sitting in the church. You see, when Satan didn't kill you, and when Satan couldn't get you to stop coming to church, he goes and does something else. He turns you into a barren tree. A lot of you, Satan didn't want you to know Jesus at all. He wanted you to burn in hell with him. But by the grace and the mercies of God, you escaped that one. And then he didn't want you to be a strong Christian. You also escaped that when you started coming to church regularly. He has now gone and vetoed you in this place where he said, "Okay, you're going to go to church. You're going to go to heaven. But you will be fruitless. There will be nothing that comes out of you." And he has given you a job that is designed to ensure in 1,000 years you never get a fruit. You are what we call in scripture a eunuch in the palace. You are a eunuch. In other words, you have the stuff, but the stuff are not working. That's a eunuch. You understand? The king can freely give you his wives to bath them. He has no doubt, he has no concern at all that something will happen. So Satan can freely let you attend church. He can freely let you listen to messages. He can freely let you even listen to Castbox. He has no concern that anything will come out of that. Hmm?
Some of he even forgot you.
You are so barren that he has no concern. No concern. Praise the Lord. You see, that's why Jesus said, I don't want you to be like that. I want you to bear fruit. When you bear fruit, you start commanding the attention of a lot of people, including the attention of the devil and the attention of God. Fruit bearing. Refuse barrenness in your life at all level. Listen to me, by all means, a basenta must come out of you. By all means, a cell must come out of you. By all means, a center should come out of you. Why not a branch? Why not two branches? Why not five? Bear fruit. Bear fruit. That's why he chose you. That's why he chose you. Don't sit in the church as a eunuch in the church. You are bearing fruit in the name of Jesus. Then it goes on to say, not just to bear fruit. Fruit that will last. What a blessing. Fruit that will last. Those of us that have started bearing fruit, you are now called to another level. Those that were not bearing fruit, Jesus is saying, start bearing fruit. Understand that barrenness is totally adverse to the will of God. In fact, barrenness is one of the signs of the curse. Just like fruitfulness is a sign of the blessing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you entertain barrenness, you are entertaining a curse. You are entertaining a curse. Yeah. And when you are open to fruitfulness, when you fight to be fruitful, you want the blessing to manifest itself in your life. Not just to say that I am blessed. There's no manifestation. The blessing must manifest itself in your life. One of the number one quintessential reason for barrenness is laziness. We can talk here all day, but behind every fruitlessness, there is laziness. It has always been the case. And behind every fruitfulness, there is hard work. And a lot of diligence. So you see, it's not that some are chosen more than others. No, he said time and chance is given to all. It is what you do with it that determines the manifestation. The manifestation is not determined by God. The manifestation is determined by your engagement. Are you here? Look, I say you fruitful in the name of Jesus. May a cell come out of you. Refuse to remain a chair warmer in the church. A bench warmer. How can you be like that? 5 years, not even one mango has come out of you. 10 years, not even one branch has come out of you. What kind of tree is that? And now those that have gravitated from just barrenness to fruitfulness, God is now saying, don't just settle for fruit. Desire fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. In other words, your branch must last. Your members must last. Everything you do, there must be lasting effect on it. Don't just bring people to church. They come this week, next week, they are nowhere to be found. And you bring a new group. And then, no. Fruit that will last. That's what we are talking about. Are you here? So it is the will of God that you become fruitful. But also it is that fruit you bring should last. And this entire series was inspired by the 10th anniversary of this ministry, Alive Bible Church. By the grace of God, we are celebrating 10 years this month. This ministry started in 2015. Here we are in 2025, looking at the goodness and the blessings of God upon our lives. And our desire is that this ministry will last 10 more years, 20 more years. And that is what we are doing this month, learning what causes things to last. Alive Bible Church is a fruit. We thank God that fruit came out. But that fruit mustn't die. That fruit must last. There are still many people out there that need this fruit. There are many young men out there, many women out there, many people out there. They need a fruit called ABC. So we need to last more years until we encounter those people. Proverbs 13 verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. That is a lasting inheritance. An inheritance that can reach your children and then reach your children's children. By all means, you must leave something behind. And that is what I was saying last week. That we honor our ancestors and we rightfully do so. But we shouldn't also be ashamed to admit that there were a lot of irregularities. They didn't leave nothing. We are all starting as if we didn't have ancestors. But we keep honoring them. But they left nothing for us to start with. Now, I've told you, I'm just doing a little recap. It takes wisdom to last long. Proverbs 9 verse 11. For true wisdom, your days will be many. True wisdom, your days will be many. And years will be added to your life. So you see, it is true wisdom that things last. So you need to have the wisdom that causes things to last. Hallelujah. Anything durable, anything that lasts long is usually expensive. Because it takes probably a lot of effort to put it together. For it to last, it is expensive. Cheap things don't cost much. Sometimes the value is placed on a thing because of its durability. Are you here? So last week we saw principle for lasting results, part one. Five important things you must do. We saw that you must start early. Hello. Amen. Now, I got a testimony here from a young man. He sent me this testimony. And he wrote here, on Wednesday, I downloaded 3 past matric questions papers, my pastor. I'm starting early, sir. As I'm going to register for my matric rewrite in October, say, I've always wanted to rewrite my matric, but I've been procrastinating, say. But after Sunday's sermon, I got motivated to do something in preparation for next year's exams. Somebody that has been there in the system, planning on rewriting his matric, but never did it. After I spoke last week, he decided, let me start early. You are the next to start early in the name of Jesus. Number two, wait for the right time. Wait for the right time. You go too early, the thing will abort. You go too late, you become irrelevant. Go at the right time for the thing to last. Number three, align with God's will for your life. Basically, what we are saying there is that don't do things because others are doing them. That will not last. Do things because that's the will of God for your life. That is the only thing that will last. The Bible says, whoever does the will of God shall abide forever. But the Bible is quick to say that this world and its last will pass away. So if you are doing something because you saw somebody doing it, meanwhile, it might not have been necessarily the will of God for your life. I'm not saying we shouldn't get inspired by people. But even when you get inspiration, you should still remember that you must take revelation from God for his vision for you. Otherwise, you'll find yourself chasing the wind. Some people are doing things out of jealousy and envy. You saw somebody with this, you also want it. You will get it by all means. things, but it will not last. The whole point is that things that you get out of lust, out of envy, out of jealousy, out of comparisons and competition, all those things, or selfish ambitions, all those things cannot last, cannot stand the test of time. So you spend years amassing and accumulating things, and they are not the will of God for you, and at the end of the day, you look like you have nothing. That's the whole point. Align with the will of God for your life. Number four, build with God. Here I was talking to you about the fact that, it's true that you have to do this, but you remember to include God in what you are doing. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. So you don't want to build and build, and that's what happened to a lot of people. In the name of building, they put God aside. In the name of getting rich, they put God aside. In the name of getting ahead in life, they put God aside. And just to realize at the end of their life that the stone they rejected is now the cornerstone. It is only what God does that will be forever. So if you are not building with God, you are building, you know. So God has to be involved. You have to build with God. And I showed you that's why God made us kings and priests. You are a king and a priest at the same time. In other words, there's a side of you that is a king, meaning that's where you rule. So we see what you do outside here. But there's another side of you that is a priest. That's that we don't see. That's where you are praying. You are seeking God. You are knowing the will of God before you can come and become a king. So you have to combine the two for you to become effective. Some of us are great kings, but poor priests. And that's why the thing doesn't work. Without a priesthood, no matter how good a king you are, you will not last. And some are great priests, but poor kings. They pray a lot, but come outside, there's nothing. They didn't learn any skill. They don't have any knowledge on anything. So they cannot rule. Even though they have the power, they can't use it. They abuse it. Building with God is combining the two. He made us kings and priests. Both. And the best example of this is Daniel. Daniel was supposedly a king because he was a prime minister. But equally, Daniel was a prophet. Daniel was a man of prayer. And we know that his reign lasted 3 kings. 3 different kings came and they all needed Daniel. Why? Because he had both. He was a king and he was a priest. You see, I see you lasting long in whatever you are doing. Not just because you have the knowledge, but you also know how to engage the power. Remember the scripture says, Christ, the wisdom of God, but Christ also, the power of God. You need the wisdom and the power, the king and the priest. Those are the two sources that make you a great ruler wherever you are supposed to be. A pastor that studies scriptures and doesn't pray will give people dead meat. And a pastor that prays but doesn't study the scriptures will confuse the people too. You need both for you to be effective. Then number 5, check your foundations. Psalm 11 verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I believe this point has really touched a lot of people out there. To realize that even though I am a righteous person, it happens that my foundations are destroyed. It will have an effect on me. Amen. And I showed you that the foundation, talk about your founders, the people that founded the family, you know, the generations before you got here. How did they build this thing? You know what? I don't want to say much. Just go and listen to that message for yourself. Go on last week's message and you will be so blessed. It has so much power in it. This morning, principle for lasting results, part 2. 5 important things you must avoid. 5 important things you must avoid. Number 1, avoid lies. Avoid lies. Avoid lies. You want to build something that will last? You want to establish something that will stand the test of time? Don't build with lies. No matter how high you build using lies, it will all come crumbling down. Avoid lying. Lies seems to sponsor a quick advancement. Like, if I lie, I can get it done quicker. If I lie that I'm this, meanwhile I'm not, people will trust me, and then they will trust me. I mean, they say all of those things. And you know, for a while, you might get away with lies. But the fact of the matter is that at the end of the day, the whole thing will collapse. Matthew 7, 26 to 27. Remember, we ended last week with who built the house on the rock. Do you understand? I mean, the rock is Christ, the truth. But if we go to if we continue that same verse, he says, but anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is a foolish man. It's like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come, the wind beats against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Building on sand is building with lies. That's what happened to a lot of people. They build their Christianity on lies. You see them on Sunday, they look like a powerful Christian. You see, that thing will collapse with a big crash. Rather say, I'm struggling with this, I'm still struggling with this. But don't build your Christianity on lies. Meaning you pretend to be who you are not. So you are giving us the impression that you are growing. You are strong. That Christianity might not last. You are building a ministry on lies, giving wrong numbers. You're only shooting the angle where the people are sitting, the other empty chair you don't show. Do you see what you are doing? You are building on lies. I understand that for aesthetic and all of that, sometimes we have to, no, you know, don't show everything. But for your own good, you must take those pictures with empty chairs so that you are not lying to yourself. So you keep showing us the picture of a very, very nice thing. Meanwhile, you are not showing the whole truth. And all of a sudden, people start trusting you and believing that you can really do this thing. When they now call you to come and do it, the whole thing crumbles down. Lies, deception, cover-ups are the mystery behind the collapse of many great destinies. That's the mystery. That nobody expected that this person will go down. But he's down. Why? The whole time he was using lies to tell us the story. Some people lie about their age. They lie about their family. They lie about their name. They lie about where they went to school. I mean, you are building your whole life with this person, man, and everything he's telling you is a lie. And then you are hoping that the marriage will last. You are hoping that this relationship will go far. It is built on lies. I mean, the person might trust you for a while, believing your lies, but like I'm saying, the thing will come crumbling down. I hope I'm still speaking to you. Avoid lies. Avoid lies. Speak the truth. Tell people, look, I can do this, I cannot do this. Don't say I can do everything. And then when you are not given the contract, you start chowing the money and you can't do anything. When they ask you, are you a virgin? Say, I am not. If you are not. But you say, no, I actually am. I am. Because you want to get married. Then the person discovers later that you are an old crocodile. You've been busy for a long time. You are an expert. I heard the story of somebody like that. The beloved asked her, "Are you a virgin?" She said, "Hey, I'm a virgin. I don't know anything. That girl had committed abortion twice. But she wanted to get married. And in the name of getting married, she agreed she's something she's not. So the whole marriage was built on a lie. I'm asking you this morning, what are you building using lies? What are you building right now? You are building something right now and you are lying to a person. You haven't told them the whole truth. In fact, some of us, you haven't told the truth at all. Now, there's a verse I want to tell you. Never forget this verse. Mark 4:22. Jesus speaking says, everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open. And every secret will be brought to light. So whatever you are covering up is just for a season. And that is what explained the collapse, is that soon or later, whatever you are doing will reveal itself. You are building on sand, brother. You seem to be going fast, but it's sand. It will not stand the test of time. May God help us this morning to become truthful people. Of late, the church has liars. Liars in the church. Liars pastors. Liars mamurutis. Liars members. It's amazing. So we are building with lies. And we are hoping that somewhere, somehow, it can survive. It can survive. You know what are lies? You are building with loans. Every loan is a lie. You are driving a lie. You are wearing a lie. But you are giving people the impression, this is my car. It is not your car. You are lying. Loans are designed to give you a life that is not yours yet. So you are living a lie. So 1 minute we see you with a car, then you are walking. I say, what happened? I say, no, it's life. It's not life. You are lying. Number two, avoid shortcuts. Avoid shortcuts. Number one, avoid lies. I'm giving you 5 things that will help you if you want your building to survive. Anything you are busy with, avoid lies. I ask that, you know, I pray for myself and for you that we must speak the truth. You will go far speaking the truth. And many people think by lying they will go far. No, by lying you might go fast, but you will not go far. Just like building with sand, you can be fast because you don't need to dig too deep. But it will not go far. Father, deliver us from the spirit of lying, deception, cover up, getting loans and debts and accounts we don't need, simply to live a lie. To prove that we have what we don't have. Father, help us to be content with what we have. Deliver us from the desire to impress others, which sometimes causes us to lie. And we build with lies. I said number two, avoid shortcuts. Now, a shortcut is helpful, especially when it is helping you to redeem the time. Like maybe to go like this, I can, you know, go like this. There's a good side on shortcuts. The problem with shortcuts begin when they now compromise quality. And they compromise integrity. In other words, by taking this shortcut, I'm going to compromise the quality of what I'm offering. And I'm going to compromise my integrity. And those are the shortcuts I'm saying you must avoid. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Matthew 4 verse 7 to 10, again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Praise the Lord. Jesus has come to redeem the world, the nations. And Satan is giving him a shortcut to everything. I mean, Satan is saying to him, I'm going to give you all these nations, all the people. I'm going to give all of them to you. So they will be yours. But there's just a little thing I want you to do. And I mean, it's nothing big. I mean, just bow down and worship me. You just bow down and worship me small. And I'll give you China. I'll give you Japan. I'll give you the whole of Africa. I'll give you everybody. All these nations, all these people and their glory, I will give to you. Just bow down and worship me. Say with me, shortcut. That's a shortcut. You are trying to go here and somebody comes and says, oh, I can get you there, but just come here. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only you shall serve. So Jesus rejected the shortcut and accepted the pain of Via Dolorosa, that he is going to go through that pain and endure all of that pain and go through Calvary and pay for it legally and normally, not bowing down and compromising here and there to get something that you will not actually have. You know, this is something I have discovered. Almost everything Satan is tempting you with. Are you listening to me? When Satan starts bringing a temptation to you, mark this. Every time Satan is tempting you about something, it's either God has already given it to you, or God is about to give it to you. Anything Satan is tempting you with, mark my words, when you see Satan tempting you, steal money. I'm telling you the truth. If you can just hold your peace, you will be surprised. That money you wanted to steal will come to, it will come by itself to you. The shortcut is because the thing exists, but Satan doesn't want you to go the right way to getting it. He's offering you a shorter version to getting there faster. And it is in that version that the compromise is. And in that, in fact, that is how you will lose the thing altogether. It's because, now if I take you to John 13 verse 3, remember the Bible says, and Satan, listen to care, all these things I will give you. That's the temptation. All these things I will do what? Give you. When you go to John 13 verse 3, the Bible says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things. Knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. The very thing Satan was tempting him with, the Father had already given him. Satan told Adam and Eve, you will be like God. They were already like God. But he tempted them because they didn't know they were like God. Now he came to Jesus and said, all these things I will give to you. But Jesus knew the Father has already given me all things. If you don't know this, you will fall for the shortcuts. You will fall for the shortcuts. When he is asking you to go and fornicate, you must know God had already prepared a woman that you will not fornicate. You will make love. You will have a wife. But he's sending you to the thing before the time. Am I talking to the right people this morning? Learn to identify the shortcuts. Shortcuts will lead to a short-lived success. Shortcuts will lead to premature exposure because of a disregard to the process. When you disregard the process, you will come out before the time. And that is premature. In Luke 1 verse 8, the Bible says, so the child grew. Say with me, process. He grew. It takes time to grow. The Bible says the child grew and became strong in spirit. He became. It's a process. The child grew, became. You see, when God is working, there's a process. Process is not the same as delay. The child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert. Are there people in the desert? There's no life in the desert, brother. If you are in the desert and your desire for glory is itching you, you will want to quickly leave the desert and come where people are. Prematurely. The Bible says he was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel. There is a day called the day of your manifestation. But Satan has a lot of shortcuts to get you to the day of the manifestation before the time. So you find a lot of us, you throw yourself in YouTube, you throw yourself on social media, you start showing that you can preach. This, you are coming out before the time. Satan is using the shortcut of social media for you. He's using the shortcut of the fact that your phone can take pictures. Your phone can take videos. He's thinking, no. I mean, you don't need to wait. Just quickly do this and you'll be there. A scripture I want you to remember forever, Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road to the Philistine country, though that was the shorter one. Say with me, shortcut. Here is God refusing to take a shortcut. The Bible says the way through the Philistine country was shorter. So if they had used that road, they could have reached Canaan land in 40 days. But they spent 40 years in the desert. And during those 40, God did a lot of things. Now, he says, why? Because for God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. If they face war, they will change their mind. You see, these are former slaves. They don't know yet how to fight. If I take them through the Philistine country, the Philistines are people of war. They will fight them, and then they will not be able to fight back, so they will say, no, we're going back to Egypt. So behind every shortcut, there's a possibility of going back in the world. Achieving lasting results will require a complete adherence to the process. Mark 4:28. For the earth yields crops by itself. First, the blade. Then, the head. After that, the full grain in the head. That's the process. Matthew 3, verse 13 and 15. Then Jesus went to Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done. For we must carry out all that God requires. It should be done. We must carry out how many things? All that God requires. The guy is giving you a shortcut to glory. Jesus says, no. I know this thing. You go this way, you will miss certain steps. And by the time you come out, you will come out uncooked. You will be a meat without salt. You will be a meat that is so hard when people are chewing, they have to use toothpick every 5 minutes. He said, we must carry out all that God requires. All, is that your attitude? That I must carry out all that God requires. Or you want to go there faster. You want to be on stage faster. You want to hold the microphone faster. You want to put the ring faster. All that God requires. What are the shortcuts that Satan has been luring you with? Achieving lasting results will require the pursuit of exact knowledge. And exact knowledge requires time. You don't just bump into it. You will read a lot of things just to find this one, which is the right one. So if you are a man of shortcuts, my God, you take a book, you go to the last page, you read the last page. Okay, I understand this book. Ah! Isaiah 33 verse 6. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. You see what stabilizes things? Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability. Not zeal. Not excitement. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability. For ABC to be stable, wisdom and knowledge. For your marriage to be stable, wisdom and knowledge. For your business to be stable, wisdom and knowledge. For your ministry to be stable, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability. Exact knowledge. Number three, achieving lasting results will require acquiring the right structure. The right structure. I'm talking to ABC. If ABC is going to last long, we need the right structure. When you see things crumbling down, there was no structure. They had the capital. They had the employees. They squandered the whole money because there was no structure in place. When money goes here, it gets here. This one signs here. Then it goes there. You see, especially as African people, we don't like such things. We don't like structures. Every day is different. Last Sunday is different. This Sunday, I mean, every Sunday is another structure. Every Sunday, I mean, you can't get things in the right way. He said, until you get them in the right way, they will not last. They will not last. You have a business, you are the treasurer. You are the CEO, you are the CFO, you are everything yourself. There's no food in the house. You go for the business, you take the man of business, you buy the food. No structure. There must be a structure as to when to take the money, how much you can take. Like, if that structure is not there, the thing is going nowhere. Your child is sick, you take the money of the business, you take your child to the hospital. That's why African businesses, I'm sorry to say, to the most part, usually they don't go very far. Because you don't know the difference between a business, like what belongs to here and what belongs to here. African churches, the pastor is the owner of the money. He uses the money for this, for this, for this, for this. Everything, he uses the money for it himself. No structure. No structure. Who is who? Who is in charge of what? Who does what? And are we all ensuring that whatever everybody is supposed to do, they are given a chance to do it? That's the structure. And if ABC doesn't define its structure, ABC will have no future. Bishop Oedipo said it clearly. The future of every organization lies in a viable structure. We don't have a structure as a church, we will not have a future. You don't have a structure for the business, your business will not have a future. Exact knowledge. You want to start a business of maybe bakery. Do you have the knowledge required to start the business? Do you have the wisdom required to start the business? Do you have the structure for the whole company? Like when you start the bakery, where do you buy the flour? Where do you buy the sugar? What happens here? When those things are bought, who handles what? From here it goes where? And from there it goes where? You see that whole thing? If that thing is not properly defined, if we don't define, when a person comes to church, what happened after the church? What happened between a week? If we don't define that structure, we have no future. Number three. Remember number one, avoid lies. Number two, Avoid shortcuts. Number three, avoid pride. Esther 1:10 to 12. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bista, Harbona, Bicta, Abacta, Zecta, and Kaka, seven eunuch who serve in the presence of King Ahasuerus, to bring Queen Vashti before the king, wearing her royal crown, in order to show her beauty to the people and the officials. For she was beautiful to behold. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command. She refused to come at the king's command brought by the eunuchs before. Therefore the king was furious, and his anger burned within him. Avoid pride. Avoid pride. ABC must avoid pride. Otherwise, the anger of the king will start burning against us. When the king said, take here, go there, and you say, you will not go. When the king said, move from here, go there, you say, no, you will not go. You are comfortable here. ABC, we must remember, Vashti's days are not numbered. God has pride in her heart. Let's go to verse 19. It says, so if it pleases the king, we suggest that you issue a written decree, a law of the Persians and the Medes that cannot be revoked. It should order that Queen Vashti be forever banished from the presence of King Ahasuerus. And that the king should choose another queen more worthy than she. Proverbs 16 verse 8. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Are you kidding what I'm saying? For you to stay up, for you to even go up and stay there and continue going for a long time, be very careful of this thing called pride. Vashti did so well. She made it to the queenship level. She was now a queen. But she did not die a queen. Her queenship didn't last as it could have lasted. Queen Elizabeth, her kingdom, her queenship lasted till death is what removed her from there. But Queen Vashti was removed before death. Pride took her down. You and I must be careful about pride. When God starts lifting you, when God starts helping you, when things are beginning to fall into place, and you're beginning to see the hand of God assisting you, that is the time you and I must become very careful. Because the king might issue an order that you don't like. The king might ask you to do something that is debasing in your standard, of course, because now you are a queen. When you were still wanting to be a queen, you wanted to show off. In fact, maybe that is why the king even saw you. But now that you are a queen, no. Those days are gone. I'm now enjoying myself. But what you are forgetting is that for every Vashti, there's always an Esther in waiting. You shall never be replaced in the name of Jesus. 1 Timothy 3 verse 16, the Bible says, not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same temptation as the devil. Pride will puff you up. He said, not a novice. What is a novice? Somebody who is new on the thing. You were just appointed. You just became a pastor. You just became this. You just joined the church. You are a novice.
And when you are a novice, your chances of becoming proud are too high. You just got married. You are a novice in marriage things. You just got a new job. You are a novice in that job. Before you realize, you start criticizing everybody. You start feeling that this person is not doing his job. You start seeing a lot of things. You know what I should tell you? I'm a novice. I'm a novice. I'm a novice. This problem has destroyed a lot of young upcoming ministers. They never emerged to become all that God wanted them to become because the pride takes them down before they even go up. Small responsibility that you gave them, now you can't send them anywhere. You can't ask her to come and show off a bit. You can't ask him to go and do an outreach. You can't ask him to go and do a visitation. You can't ask him. No, he wants to preach. She wants to preach. She's waiting for Sunday morning. Sunday morning is where she displays her capacities. You see, the king can't send you anymore, you see. The king cannot say, go and do this. Who is the king? The person who got you appointed. A king chooses the queen. You are where you are because somebody appointed you. And if that person can no more say to you, do this and do that, pride has entered your heart. Pride has entered your heart. Pride has entered your heart. So the Bible says in James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. Don't lift up yourself. Don't lift up yourself. Humble yourself. God will lift you up. If you lift up yourself, God will humble you. That's the formula. So how do you humble yourself? Remain accountable. Remain accountable. Never be so big that you cannot come again and say, Pastor, what you sent me to do, I did. This is what happened. You see, you don't account anymore. Vashti was unaccountable. Even when 10 people come to collect her, she said, I'm not coming there. Remain accountable. Is there somebody you account to for your marriage? Is there somebody you account to for your ministry? Is there somebody you account to for this thing that you are doing? When you are at a level where you account to nobody, it's pride. It's pride. Number two, remain teachable. Remain teachable. This is how you humble yourself. He says, humble, James 4:10. Remember it, James 4:10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. But how do you humble yourself? Remain accountable. No matter how high you go, you can always come and say, This is what is going on. These are the problem I'm having. People are so unaccountable that even when there's a challenge, they can't tell you. They want to deal with it themselves. They want to handle it by themselves. They want to show they've got this. They've got this. Because coming to say, I'm facing this, it's like saying I couldn't fix it. No. It's a sign of humility. You remain accountable. Then you remain teachable. A teachable person continues reading books. A teachable person continues listening to messages. A teachable person continues coming to church. A teachable person continues serving God. You remain teachable. You remain teachable. Number three, remain correctable. Correctable. The higher the pride, the harder it is to receive correction. Let me repeat myself. The higher the pride, the harder it is to receive correction. The higher the pride, the harder it is to receive correction. Every correction to a proud person turns him into an offended person. As soon as you correct pride, pride turns into offense. I'm talking to myself, I tell you. As soon as you correct pride, pride becomes offense. Somebody chose you to be his wife. Now he can't say a word to you again. If he says one word, you start shifting everything in the house. It's pride. It's the pride of Vashti. So you are uncorrectable. Somebody appointed you pastor, but today, my God, even to call you, he must queue like your congregants. He must queue, he must wait, in the waiting room. Because you are seeing some people, you are praying for a thing, we are praying, the power of God is coming, people are falling under the anointing, so the pastor must wait for you. Number four, remain sendable. Sendable. Vashti refused to come. It means Vashti was going to refuse to go. If you were to tell Vashti, go, who, me? Do you know who you are talking to? Number what? Five, remain prayerful. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will do what? Humble themselves and pray. Humble themselves and pray. Humility is always a sign, it reveals through prayer. A praying person will entertain humility, and a non-praying person will entertain pride. Why? Because you feel you can do it yourself. You have the capacity. So you don't pray. You go and preach, you don't pray. No, I prepare my notes, I know what I'm going to talk about, so God is going to move. He moved yesterday, I know he's going to move today. You don't pray again. I see you praying in the name of Jesus. Let's go back to our numbers. Number one, avoid lies. Number two, avoid shortcuts. Number three, avoid pride. Number four, avoid rigidity. In other words, be flexible, brother. If you're going to last long, be adaptable. Don't be no, I said it's white. Till Jesus comes, it will be white. Oh. Rigidity. Rigidity. I could have actually said avoid stubbornness. Do you know how many businesses have closed down because of stubbornness? Do you know how many churches have closed down because of rigidity? The pastor said tomorrow is all night. Anybody that doesn't come, don't come back to this church. And truly so, anybody that doesn't come, he chases them away from the church. Rigidity. Your way or the highway. You know, last. You know, last. You look like Pharaoh. Exodus 9, 6 to 7. So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. But of the livestock of the children of Israel, no one died. But then Pharaoh sent, and indeed, not even one of the livestock of the Israelite was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh became hard. And he did not let the people go. My God. This was plague number 5. If not 6. Still, his heart was hard. You can see that the thing is no more working, but your pride combined with your rigidity, you will not agree. Okay, let's change it. Let's change it. Yeah, I pray that God gives me grace. If you've checked, I have changed the fasting from 6 to 6 p.m. now. Because I'm just deceiving myself. When I'm saying it's from 6 a.m. to 6 a.m., people are eating and they are eating anyway. So let me rather say, guys, okay, let's flow 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. for winter. After that, let's fight back to get to this thing. Or you are on your own. Rigidity is costly. Very, very costly. So be flexible if you want to last long. When you realize that the times have changed, also adapt yourself. I never used to be on YouTube. Here am I on YouTube. I can say, I don't know this YouTube thing. I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pray. If you want to hear me, come to church. You know how many people are blessed today by message I prayed 3 years ago? Rigidity is costly. It's costly. You actually become irrelevant. You become irrelevant. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22. To the weak, I became weak. To win the weak. I have become all things to all people
so that by all possible means I might save some. You become all things to all people. You are flexible. You can be a great man of prayer, but when you have somebody who doesn't know how to pray, you clue down so you can save the person. But when you are rigid, hey, if you don't pray, get out of here. Hey, you are still sleeping around. Go out. Hey. Even your wife will leave. I mean, that church, nobody will stay there. Longevity and relevance demands adaptability and malleability. Philippians 4:12-13, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Be flexible. Be flexible. I'm not saying compromise, but read the times and be flexible. If you are a bit more flexible, you'll have more people. You will more. People are not the same, brother. There are some people, no matter what you do, they'll never pay tight. They will never, they have made a vow with the devil. They will never pay tight. You chase them away, you have lost. Keep them in the system. One day they will give a good offering. Be flexible. Lastly, avoid dishonor or avoid disloyalty. Ephesians 6:1-3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long. Avoid dishonor. Avoid dishonoring the person who caused you to be. Avoid dishonoring people that have helped you become what you are. Otherwise, you might not last long in the thing that you are. Dishonor. Disloyalty. I told you guys the first week I started this series about Zimri. A guy who became king for only 7 days. What I didn't tell you was that just before that, he killed the king to become king. There was a king, you can find the whole story in the book of 1 Kings 16. There was a king, he came and assassinated the king, assassinated all the children of the king and the whole family of that king, and then he became the king. After he became king, he lasted how many days? 7 days. Hey, I mean, you are destroying a pastor so you can become a pastor. How long will your pastorate last? Huh? You are destroying a marriage so that you can get married. Ah. How do you think that thing is going? Okay, where do you think the thing is going? Honor the fathers and you will live long. Honor them. Honor fathers. You know something? Honor your father and your mother. You will be well. Yeah. That's a simple principle. This is why people don't last. A pastor help you for years. You turn your back and insult him. Insult everybody. You think you will last? Somebody help you get a job. Establish you in the company. Now that you are a big person in the company, you are insulting the person. You will not last. These are simple principles that are behind the undoing of many destinies. Let me give you a bonus one. Avoid success without a successor. Avoid success without a successor. Huh? No matter how great you are not immortal. It's the biggest mystery I see around is that we focus so much in accumulating things. We forget that we're going to leave those things. And we don't raise a success. You see the word success, I have the word success in it. There's no success without a successor. It is a successor that makes your success successful.
anything you are doing, that you are the only one who knows how to do it. You are not a successful person. No matter how successful you are. Steve Jobs had Tim Cook on the side. Moses had Joshua on the side. Elijah had Elisha on the side. Jesus had 12 disciples. I mean, they took it World Cup. 12 on the side. I thank God for what you are doing, but who is being prepared to succeed? This is the biggest challenge that we have as parents. We work for the family, but we don't raise a successor to take care of the family when we are gone. Have you noticed that? Can I tell you the truth? Some of the ancestors did leave staff, but those staff didn't survive because there was no successor to take control and to continue the family legacy. How many fathers spend equal time they spend in the work talking to their son, talking to their daughter? The person you are not talking to is the person that will take care of what you are leaving. Yes. The person you are not training is the person that will take over after you. Luke 12 verse 20, but God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? So we usually use it from this perspective. He didn't serve God and all that. But God was addressing a critical point. I'm going to clear you, but there's nobody who will get what you are leaving. Who will get it? Who will get it? So the first group are those who have nobody to take over after them. They are just amassing things for themselves. They are working, getting cars, getting this. But there's nobody they are preparing to take over from them. That is not even coming in their heads. They pump a few babies, the babies are there, the babies are growing, they give them shoes, they give them cars, but they are not raising anybody to know how you got what you got. You see, if we really raise our children, we must teach them how we got what we got. I mustn't just give you food. I must teach you how I got the food. Otherwise, I don't have a successor. The second group is Ecclesiastes 2, 18 to 19. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish. Yet they will have control over the fruit of my toil, into which I have poured my efforts and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. Look at how hard you are working. But you and I are not equally working hard to have a successor who can continue with what we started. So the first group, they don't even have a successor. The second group, they have a successor, but they didn't train him. So they don't know if the guy will do well. This is Solomon speaking. And truly speaking, after Solomon died, Rehoboam, his son, couldn't handle the thing. First cabinet meeting, everybody left him. He lost everything his father had spent years to accumulate. The third group is where you and I should trust and trust God for. Those who will leave disciples. Those who will leave successors. Those who will be successful, but they will also leave successors behind them. Hallelujah. People that will take over from you, and you can rest in peace knowing that whatever you left will not die with you. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Brothers and sisters, four generations. Paul, Timothy, faithful men, others also. So Paul didn't just leave for Timothy. He left for faithful men. And he had a provision that these faithful men will also put a thing. ABC cannot last if ABC ends with Pastor Pascal. Pastor Pascal must have Timothy's. And from the Timothy must have faithful men. Faithful men. And these faithful men must be faithful to the same vision. And they must pass that vision down to other faithful people that will keep passing it down and down and down and down. That's how things survive. No matter how great you and I are, Michael Jackson cannot be reproduced as the disciple. He went with the dance move, moonwalk. He went with everything. It is only his music that is there once in a while. But Jesus died years before Michael Jackson. Jesus is still here. Why? A simple principle. He raised disciples. He raised successors. People that will take over from him. Brother, I came to tell you this morning, I thank God that you are doing well. But don't be the only person that is doing well. Look around you and pour yourself in others. Remove what you have and give it to others. So that even when you die and the thing has remained. Don't die with the thing. Leave it behind for others to continue with the good work. That's my desire before God. And I pray maybe this thing will be played the day I leave this world. That I want to die empty. Everything I've learned, let me share with others. Let me give to others. Let them receive it as Timothy's. Let them pass it down to faithful men who will equally take it and share it abroad. That the gospel will continue being preached. When I go back to my Savior, I will say, Father, I did what I could, but I left the baton to others. They are now continuing with the same work. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. My prayer for you is that you will have lasting results. Stand on your feet and give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning for this word that has come. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We are receiving wisdom to have successors. Wisdom to not die with everything you gave us, but to share, to impart others, to help others. Yes, Jesus, truly speaking, I believe somebody will make disciples. Somebody will start raising others also. In the name of Jesus. Masokonema. Shapala Dema. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you thanks. In Jesus' precious name. If you are watching this morning and you are not born again, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Everything you've learned this month is good. But without the foundation of Christ, you are building on sand. I don't want you to build on sand. I want you to build on the rock. Jesus. Do you want to accept Jesus this morning? As your Lord and your Savior, can I pray with you and for you? Please repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.